somewhere between a Christmas tree and a piano. Good to see you all. It's slightly intimidating being up here after that cast of thousands, but thank you very much for coming. I'd like to read with you, if you have a Bible, thanks, Vic. How's that? That's okay. The Christmas story, or some of the Christmas story from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1. You may see a red pew Bible, we call them, in the seat in front of you. If you see one there, I believe it's about page 965, the very first chapter of the New Testament. And we're just going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 1, from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And then one of the most amazing, wonderful verses in the Bible, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Jesus woke from sleep, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. As I say, thank you for coming this morning. I know it's a busy time. It's a time when, about now, we're normally running around trying to buy those last presents and wrap them and write the Christmas cards that we forgot and get the food in, get the house prepared, clean the house for the visitors, do the odd jobs. You're all looking at me. Well, watching your wife do all those things, it's a busy time. On Thursday just past, I was at our Christmas lunch with work, and we went to a Thai restaurant. Some of you may know it's the Thai Fountain. And I noticed that the menus and the napkins had printed on them, Happy Holiday Season. And that didn't feel much like a holiday, actually. But it's quite an ironic term, isn't it, as we're all so busy and we see this happy holiday season. It's a term that finds its way of sort of eliminating Jesus from Christmas, doesn't it? It's a way of sort of, let's all have a season together, let's all have a holiday together, but we can maybe find a term for that which isn't really Christmas, because that might be offensive to some. No wonder that up and down the country this morning there will be preachers and ministers who are reminding the congregations before them, large or small, let's not forget, as someone once said, the reason for the season. Let's not forget that this is about Jesus. Let's not forget that this is about more than just getting together with family and friends and maybe having a meal together, sharing presents together. Let's remember Jesus at Christmas time. I can see some of you are already quite relaxed because this is one you've already got sorted, you think. We already know that Jesus is kind of what Christmas is about. Well, before I go any further, let me just stop for a minute with you and just ask you personally, individually, think about your own self, about where your mind and heart is at over this Christmas season. And just ask yourself, really, is this Christmas likely to be about Jesus for you? What I mean by that is it really Jesus that is going to occupy your mind and your heart over the next week, above all else? Or is it going to be running around the shops or doing whatever needs done? Is it really going to be about Jesus for you? You know, I was trying to think what might actually stop us from making Christmas about Jesus. What is really the reason why Jesus isn't always the big thing for us over the Christmas time period? When we get past that head knowledge and actually ask ourselves genuinely. And I came up with two things, and the first is this, that we actually forget, or we don't really understand, or we've lost sight of the significance of the birth of Jesus Christ. And what did it really mean that that little baby was born? Why is it so important? I know that if the Christmas shopping isn't done, if the kids don't really get what they want, there will be a real tangible consequence to that. If those odd jobs aren't done, if that house isn't cleaned, there will be trouble. The significance is not lost on me. I know that if the kids get what they want, they'll be happier than if the kids don't get what they want. But the birth of Jesus, what really does it matter? Why should it occupy our minds and our hearts? And this is one of the reasons possibly why Jesus doesn't get his place over Christmas time, because we've lost the significance of that birth. And the second reason is this, that the truth of Jesus being born is sometimes lost on us. The reality of it can be lost on us. You know, Christmas is a time of fairy tales, isn't it? It's a time of stories. Time of myths. It's a time of tradition. I'm always amazed at how celebrities and singers can come along and bring Jesus into their new songs, their version of Jesus. And sometimes when you see nativity plays, and I certainly don't want to suggest there's anything about that nativity play, but sometimes when you go to a school or whatever and you see a nativity play, you see a real watered-down, non-offensive, diluted version of what Christmas is about, don't you? Something which won't offend race or culture or even gender. A watered-down version of the reality of Christmas. The truth can be diluted. And you know, there's so much about Jesus that makes us wonder, you know, Is it really true? An angel appeared to Joseph. An angel appeared to Joseph. And then this thing that even theologians can struggle to believe, that a virgin gave birth to a baby boy. Do you know, Larry King, the talk show host, is at CNN, was asked, out of all of history, who would you most like to interview? And he said, without hesitation, Jesus Christ. He said, I would like to ask if he really was virgin born. Because all of history hangs on that. You know, it just seems so incredible. That's the question that people really want to know. And a lot of people don't believe it. And when you think about all that you hear about Jesus, you think about that he walked on water, or that he changed water into wine, or that he could just stop a storm, calm a storm with his voice, or heal the sick, make the lame to walk, the blind to see, or even that you hear that never once did he do anything wrong, that he lived a perfect life, morally perfect, never had a bad thought. Can you really believe that when there's so many stories going around about this time? Can you really believe that he rose from the dead? There's so many stories at Christmas. How do we not know that this is just the imagination of the human mind? And you know, when you lose the significance of what Jesus' birth really was all about, and you mix it and dilute it with all the other stories and myths that are about at this time, It's quite easy just to disregard it and to not give it any importance really over this season, and to call it a holiday season. Well then, what is it about Jesus' birth that is so significant? What is it about Jesus' birth that actually makes it possible for us to believe these incredible, remarkable things about Jesus? And the answer is in verse 23 of what we've just read. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Suddenly it's clear. That little baby, nursed by his mother, was God. The manger, the cowshed, the poverty of it, significant, but far above all other things, the significance of that birth was this was God visiting man. Someone once said it was God moving into the neighbourhood. God in human form. God in the likeness of men, a newborn baby. The sustainer, creator of the universe, being nursed in a woman's arms. It's quite significant. It's what the prophet was talking about when he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Mighty God, there in that cowshed. God had taken on flesh and blood. And you know, when we grasp that this was God, when we're like, do you remember when Thomas said, as he suddenly revealed in faith, in belief, he said, "My Lord and my God." Or when Simon Peter was asked by Jesus, "Who do you say I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Or the centurion at the cross, do you remember when he looked on all that happened and he just realized, truly this was the Son of God. When we get that, when we get that that little baby was God visiting man for a purpose, for a reason, nothing is more significant. I drove past George Square last night and saw the lights and the snow was falling, and it was dazzling, actually, if you can believe George Square could be dazzling. It was wonderful. It was nothing compared to the significance of that little Christmas morning when God visited man. There will be nothing on TV over Christmas that's more amazing than God visiting man. There'll be nothing that you or I say to each other about our plans, about what we got or what we're giving or what we're doing. There is nothing more significant than God visited man. And when we grasp the reality of that being God, that baby being God, we don't think it's that impressive that he walked on water. We actually find it quite easy to believe that the creator of all matter could walk on water. We're not that impressed that he could heal the sick. Of course he could. Or that he could calm the storm. Creator and sustainer of the universe. It's not actually that impressive that he rose again. In him was life. He was God, creator of life. What's more remarkable is that he died. That God died. And you know what's remarkable? What really is the miracle of Christmas? As Vic said at the start, what really is the good news that we want to hear this morning is that God was here in the first place. Why was God here? What was he doing? Why would he leave the glory of heaven and come to this poverty-stricken, polluted place? Why would he come? Why would he allow himself as the creator to be so in one sense, helpless in his mother's arms. Why would he allow cruel men to take him and beat him and hang him on a cross of wood and kill him? What was God doing here? Let me tell you the answer. The answer is this, that God came to us in the form of Jesus so that you and I could come to him. God came to us so that you and I could come to him. God came to our squalor, as we've sung, so that we could go to his glory. He came to do what it would take so that we could be in his presence for eternity. That's what the birth of Jesus was all about. That's what his life was all about. That's what his death was all about. And that's what his resurrection was all about. You know, the miracle of Christmas is that God wants to be with us. He wants to have relationship with us. He wants to communicate with you. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's set apart. Yes, he is like no other. But he wants to reach down to us and be with us and share eternity with us. That's our God. And you know, Jesus, God, the one who was in the beginning with God and the one who was God, and the one who was still God as a baby here on earth in bodily form, he wants to be with us for all eternity. Do you know Matthew, what we've just read there, it opens with this story where he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It finishes with Jesus saying to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Remember he said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also." What was on the heart of Jesus? Sharing eternity with us. Sharing eternity with us. Sharing his glory with us. That's the Christmas story. That's what God was doing here with us. That's the heart of God. He wants to share eternity with you. Do you know, John had a wonderful vision, didn't he? Let me just read it to you. In Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God.'" This is the word of God. "God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death will be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." What's the significance of Christmas? Do you know, Jesus came because there was a problem. And the problem was sin. God is a just and holy God. He is separate. He is apart. Because he is like no other, he is holy. And we are fallen. And if we search our own hearts, we know that's true. We know that we're fallen. We know that we're sinful. But you know, he shall be called Jesus, for he shall take away the sin of the world. He shall save his people from their sins. Jesus came to deal with that problem of sin. And he dealt with it by bearing our sin in his own body upon the cross at Calvary. He took my sin and he took your sin. And he came to this earth to do that. He was born as a baby to do that. And you know, it's up to us now really to accept it, to believe it, or to reject it. And I just want to finish by asking you if you actually care about spending time with God, spending eternity with God, if you actually care about relationship with God. God has proven that's what he wants by giving his own son. What does it mean to you? What hope do you have this Christmas? How real is it to know the presence of God in your life even now? If you are willing to accept Jesus into your heart, then all it takes is a prayer of faith, belief. It takes a decision. It takes a realization that we need Jesus. It takes a realization that we are actually a fallen people, that we are sinners individually and collectively. And it takes a willingness to accept God's perfect sacrifice in his Son, the one who took our place, and to give our lives to him. I'm going to pray now, and if any of that is meaningful to you, if you are willing to accept that that little baby at Christmas was the Saviour of the world, then would you pray with me? Would you make it real to yourself? Would you seek a relationship with God? I want you to, please, think about it more than anything else this Christmas time. Let's pray. Oh God, what a God we have that can just amaze us, can demonstrate a love in such an incomprehensible way that from your side, from the glory of heaven, from the glory of your presence, you would give your Son to be born so humbly, to live a life so obediently, and to die for us the way he did. Father, we pray now, and we ask you will search our hearts as we do. We pray that you will forgive us for our sins, that you will make the reality of Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection a reality to us that fills us with joy and good news. And Father, make this Lord Jesus our own personal Saviour, the one on whom we would rely as we would seek to come into your presence, the one who would justify us as if we had never sinned because he took our place. Oh God, please accept our thanks. Please give us the faith and belief that we need. For it comes from you that we might come before you, believing and thanking you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, this morning. These things we do ask in his precious name. Amen.